And a happy Father's Day to all of our dads and to those who have loved others as a father. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of everyone helping to lead worship this morning, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or whether you're joining us in worship online, we wish to welcome you this morning. As we begin our time in worship, we have several announcements we wish to highlight for you this morning. We'll first start by turning to Gabrielle Cook-McElvenna, who serves as our Director of Music Ministries. Gabrielle?
Good morning, and welcome to Midland First. I am standing before you to say thank you to those of you who supported our Curry concert in May and came out to hear the King's Brass, but also for those of you who are supporting and have supported and continue to support our Choral Scholars, as they were the first concert for our Next Generation concert series. So they are so grateful for the program that we have started here, the ability to have an internship style position here at the church to enhance their skills, to enhance our choir, and to be able to learn some real life applicable skills that they can use when they enter into the career field. Just as a reminder, we have a concert coming up on July 13th. We are hosting the Second Act Opera Company out of Grand Rapids. And then we have a concert the second Sunday of August. We are hosting world-renowned organist Brenda Portman. So please put those dates on your calendars. All concerts are free. We use this as a gift for you and as a gift as for the community. So thank you for your support.
Thank you, Gabrielle. I, too, have a number of announcements to share with you this morning. The first of which is to share that 2 weeks ago, United Methodists, both laity and clergy from across the state, gathered in Traverse City to attend to the work of the United Methodist Church here in Michigan. Our congregation sent the following six members to this gathering called Annual Conference to represent you, the church. Joe and Jeannie Fiore, Renee Johnson, Denise Link, Pat Seaton, and Kayla Williams. I want to thank each of our lay members to Annual Conference for dedicating their time to attend this vital connection between our congregation and the greater United Methodist Church. We look forward to communicating with you further as our congregation about what took place at Annual Conference this year. In doing so, I also want to extend my gratitude to Reverend Dr. Carl Price for filling the pulpit on June 1, and also to Judy Bishop and Tyler Morris, who stepped up to lead worship on that Sunday. Very grateful that we have individuals who are gifted in leading worship and are open to sharing their gifts here at the church. Additionally, related to the United Methodist Church in Michigan, in May, I received an acknowledgement from our Michigan Annual Conference thanking the church for giving 100% of our 2024 ministry shares to the Annual Conference. By continuing in our church's longstanding commitment to supporting the work of the church through our apportionments, as Bishop Bard shares in his letter, we extend the ministry of our church in remarkable ways. Indeed, in doing so, we share in God's work in ways that we cannot do on our own as a local church. And we do this through our connection with other United Methodists in Michigan and across the world. I do recognize that in this day and time, as it always has taken, this requires great commitment from our congregation and church's leaders. So thank you for making this possible through your generosity and faithful giving to Midland First. On another note regarding our worship today, at the end of worship, gentlemen in the congregation, you will be greeted by our children at each of the exits, and they will have a gift for you. Now, if you like to be surprised, I invite you to daydream for a moment, but because I have a spoiler alert for you. This gift is going to be a flashlight that you can attach to your keychain. There is a tab on the button battery within the flashlight So I'm going to invite you to remove that tab so that the flashlight will work when you want to use it. But hope that you will receive this as a gift, whether you are a guest or a member of the church, as we want to gift you this on this Father's Day. Final announcement to highlight for you this morning is that I will be away at the start of this week, Monday through Wednesday, on vacation. And so if you have a pastoral care or emergency at this time, I invite you to get a hold of Pastor Bethany or to get a hold of our church office. So with all this, there is still plenty more in our weekly email. I invite you to turn to that during the week that you might keep in touch with the church and what is happening here. I invite you to turn to our call to worship in the bulletin. It will also be on the screen in front of you. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? I invite you to remain standing for our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. The words will be on the screen in front of you or on the hymnals on page 64. May be seated. And at this time, I invite the Milligan family to join us up front for Eliza's baptism. Good morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church, that we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and that we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Pastor Bethany, if you'll introduce.
Indeed.
Eliza.
I present Eliza Rosalie Milligan for baptism.
And so Jason and Stephanie, as you bring Eliza before us for baptism this morning, I ask you and invite you to reaffirm your faith. And so I ask on behalf of the whole congregation, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do. Finally, will you nurture your child Eliza in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself and to profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
Thank you.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? So respond, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Eliza now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Eliza with a community of love and forgiveness,
that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
God, we give you thanks. When nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and to Eliza, who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. All right, Eliza. Okay. I want to take a moment before Eliza's baptism for us to appreciate this moment, this sacred moment. If Eliza will hang in there with me. Today's passage is going to talk about God's magnificence. And in this moment, we see that in a child who receives this gift of God's grace. And so, Eliza, as you utter along with me, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, like your brother and sister and your parents, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to hand you back to Dad. There we go. And in doing so, I want to present Stephanie and Jason a gift from the church. Indeed, we're going to want them to help Eliza remember her baptism on this day and all that she said. So we have a blanket and a certificate. Alec, you want to hold that for your sister? Thank you. I'm going to invite you to turn to the congregation as we welcome Eliza into the church.
Now it is our joy indeed to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ.
God has already given you,
and we welcome you
in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Can we welcome Eliza once again to the church? Their place, we're going to invite our children to come forward for our children's blessing this morning. For those of you who are guests, if you wish to come forward, we invite you to do so. If you wish to head to Sunday school, our leaders will lead you to Sunday school, or if you wish to return to your families, certainly invite you to return as well.
What a beautiful thing to follow, huh? A baptism of a newborn baby. So Eliza was born right before Easter, and that was a pretty awesome thing to start with, to be here for her baptism. Amen. Hey guys, if you're visiting with us, you can come to Sunday school. We have lots of adults in Sunday school today. And for moms or dads or families who are here with little ones, our Sunday school is right outside this hallway right here, just to the right. Okay? All right. So today in Sunday school, we're going to talk about our Father who lives in heaven, God. We're going to talk about our fathers who live here on earth with us, or other grandpas or uncles or other people who are men who are important in our lives, okay? And let's talk for a sec what it means to get baptized. We'll talk about those things in Bible school today. We're going to really focus on Father's Day. We'll talk about Eliza's baptism. So we're going to pray together, and then we're going to stay for a couple minutes while we have a team of people who are going to on a mission trip in a few days. So we'll check that out, and then we'll head to Sunday school, okay? So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each child who is gathered here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the families who brought them to church. We thank you for a congregation that takes the job of loving and nurturing our children so very seriously. This morning and every morning, we're grateful for the fathers and the father figures in our lives. May all these men continue to live lives of humility and compassion. Lord, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to show each of us how to live. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. All these things we pray in your name. Okay, so we'll just kind of scooch over here for a sec.
And if those who are being commissioned this morning would like to come up here. Weston, McKimmy, Hillary, Ferguson, and Melinda Samarco are going to Midwest Distribution Center and are going on the youth district mission trip this coming week next week from June 22nd to June 27th. And so we just want to take a minute to commission them as they go. And if you would like to extend your hand in prayer with us, Lord, indeed, we do thank you for the privilege that it is to be a part of your family and to be a part of your life. God, I thank you so much for Weston, Hillary, and Melinda and all those who are going on this mission trip. And I pray that you would give them the strength and grace to go in your spirit, knowing that they are going to do incredible things. Lord, I pray that you would keep them safe and you would bless them as they go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
To be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations, a generation looking for God. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days He gives, I am here, I am here, and I am His for such a time as this. You Do you ever wonder why? Seems like the grass is always greener under everybody else's sky. Right here, right here, for this time and place, you can live a mirror of His mercy, a forgiving image of grace. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days He gives, I am here, I am here, and I am His. For such a time as this, can't change what's happened till now, but we can change what will be by living in holiness, that the world will see Jesus. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days He gives, I am here, and I am His. For such a time, for such a time as this, for I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days He gives, I am here, and I am His. For such a time as this.
And now we come to a time of offering. If you would, take a moment to sign the friendship pads in your pews. They should be on either end, and pass them down to those next to you. We like to know who our neighbors are. And I also would like to let you know, as the ushers are coming forward, that the children during VBS took an offering for the HANDS program with ACT Uganda. And what they do is they buy seeds which help to facilitate farming that is sustainable. And these beans that they buy are extra nutrient rich. And so the children took an offering during VBS, and with the agreement of the children's ministry team, the Sunday Friendship Lunch teams, and the church and community team, the loose change that was collected from last Sunday is also going to go to that offering. And in total, that will be an offering of $95.10. God, we have so much to give you thanks for. Now we give you thanks for these gifts here. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given, and you give out of your abundance to us. We have more than enough because of who you are, and we thank you so much. Thank you so much for these gifts. Please use them as you see fit. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You've taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the shepherds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. Oh Lord, our Lord, how your majestic name fills the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. One need not be Israel's greatest king or having written this hymn several centuries before the birth of Christ to connect with a sentiment within this psalm. Whether like me, your knowledge of God's majesty stems from time on a lakeshore, or underneath a forest canopy, or looking out over a mountain vista or oceanic coastline, many, if not all of us, at some time or another, have caught a glimpse of God's majesty in creation. It's not often that I do this, but I invite you to daydream in this moment during this sermon and to consider a time where indeed, through God's creation, you encountered God's majesty. Even a lingering glimpse at the night sky might elicit such a deep response within. Indeed, as the author of this psalm suggests, God's glory is so great that it fills the expanse between and beyond earth and the highest heavens, beyond all the layers of God's creations that stretch high above the earth. Yes, as it is written, even out of the mouth of babes, God's majesty is so great that from mere utterances of infants rises up a bulwark, rises up a strength, rises up a witness of how great God is. Almost as if on cue, Eliza uttered this morning, and we had before us a powerful reminder of what God's grace looks like, even from an infant. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Now, if you happen to have your Bibles open or your Bible app open on your phone or device, I invite you to turn with me to verses 3 through 4. This morning I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? human beings, that you should care for them. And with this melodic twist, this hymn shifts our attention from heaven and earth to one another and to humanity as a vista through which one can also encounter God's majesty. And so sit with that suggestion or sit with that thought even for just this moment, that within each human and the collective whole lies the very same wonder and awe of God that we encounter in creation. That the awe and wonder of God that so many of us encounter in creation exists within us. As this hymn writer suggests, if the very fingers that hung the stars and moon in their place also created and cares for us, what does this say about us? And what does this say about the whole of humanity? If indeed this is so, then clearly we have a special place in God's creation and in God's heart, as the psalmist acknowledges. Created only a little lower than the angels and crowned with a glory and honor. And with this comes a sacred trust of being given dominion, of being given responsibility over all of creation, calling us back to Genesis, calling us back to the fourth day of creation. With this special place in God's heart, this is what the psalmist suggests. This is what King David wrote about you and me, and what we might witness in one another. Yet even with all this, there's a notion that is easily missed. An idea that I think is especially relevant today. One we might have to wrestle with if we wish to be honest with the psalmist and ourselves. Again, hear the words of verse 4. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Scouring through 9 or so translations of this verse, the original Hebrew term here is translated as human beings, as mortals, in some translations as man or son of man, which is a biblical term referring to those being made of flesh and blood, those who are mortal, those who are simply human. In other words, in saying all these wonderful things about who we are and how there's something within us that reflects God's majesty, that reveals God's glory, the writer of this hymn does not differentiate. The hymn writer doesn't suggest that what they say only applies to God's people or to ancient Israel. The hymn writer doesn't suggest that what they say only applies to one tribe or another. Instead, the capacity to reflect God's majesty lies within you, just as it lies within those who think like you, and those who believe like you, and those who generally agree with you. But that too is true of those who do not. What we have in Psalm 8 is a hymn that reminds us that the very awe and wonder that God has sown into creation is sown into every life, including our neighbors with whom we might struggle the most. As splendid as this hymn is in offering a view of God's majesty through creation and all of humanity, the challenge we face is that it can seem outdated to us. That it might seem out of tune or out of step with today. After all, we live in a world today the very world that we are handing off to our children and to our youth wherein zero-sum thinking is more prevalent than ever. This view that pits one against the other, that leads us to believe that one's gain will either result in or come at the expense of the other. And with this sort of logic, we begin to think of the other as an obstacle or an opponent. We begin to think of the other as the enemy or even evil. We begin to think of the other as hardly worthy or even incapable of containing God's glory. And yet the very fingerprints of the one who hung the moon and the stars, are on you and on me. They are on those who are like us and those who are unlike us. On each of humanity and as the whole. As one commentary on this passage remarked, we need to revisit the thought that God and those like us lie on one side of the Rubicon, while all others are on the other side. And so how might this view of God's majesty inform your thoughts and words and deeds this week? You might simply consider this the next time you find yourself irritated by someone in your household. Not that that ever happens at the parsonage, but you might. You might consider this psalm the next time you're at odds with someone at church. Not that that ever happens here, right? Indeed, you might consider this psalm this week The next time you converse with a neighbor, a coworker, or a friend with whom you have a differing view, you might even consider this simply the next time you watch the nightly news or scroll through your news app. Indeed, we might consider this when steeped in the ways of the world, we have difficulty in seeing what is majestic about the one across from us. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. May it be so. Amen. I invite us to bow our heads and to join one another in prayer. Almighty and majestic God, indeed, we might imagine when King David was but a boy, and when he looked upon the heavens, see your stars, and we might imagine how when he wrote this psalm, that majesty and yours were in view. And we've seen this for ourselves, O Lord, as we've sat upon a lake shore, traveled down a river, heard the wind blow through the forest, or seen the majestic and expansive view of a mountain range. And in those times, we know that you are God. We know that your ways are infinite. And that we know that you are worthy of praise. And as we consider that psalm this morning, we remember almost that second verse that turns our attention to one another. And Lord, in this morning, we acknowledge that sometimes in our world today, we struggle and even fall short of seeing your majesty in the other, and seeing what is sacred and divine through our differences and our disagreements. And yet, Lord, your word this morning, or the utterances of a child, remind us that you are good. That your grace indeed is majestic. And that your fingerprints are on each of us. remind us of this day. Remind us of this, of our fathers and those who have loved us as fathers. Remind us of this as we make our way in the week to come. All of this we pray in the very name of the one who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand and join us for our closing hymn. All creatures of our God and King, we'll be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 7, and you can find it on page 62 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
Where did your mind go when I invited you to daydream for a moment? For me, it was being a camp counselor at Lake Louise and hearing the wind blow through the forest. And after chasing kids around for the full day, that is something majestic to hear silence and the leaves rustle. How can it be that that majesty is within me and within people who find it difficult to love me, or in whom I find it difficult to love? And yet that is what David says, and that is what we know what is true when we look for what is sacred and divine in each one. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Amen.